The scripture reading this morning is from Genesis 12 and Genesis 18. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 18, 17 through 21. The Lord said, should I hide from Abram what I am about to do, seeing that Abram shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? No, for I have chosen him, that he may charge his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, how great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Dear God, we are here this morning to discern your will in our life. Please, Lord, give us the humble mind so that we can listen to your voice, and also give us the power so that we can obey your word in our life. We pray this in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
The Methodist Church of Midland, Michigan found our unique calling by looking at our surrounding community, our talents and resources, and the passions of our pastors. By combining these three, we'd find our unique purpose in God's work. And that purpose? To offer hope and meaning for life to the people of our community through worship, discipleship, and service. With this in mind, our mission becomes clear, helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. By understanding our values, we could develop strategies as a congregation and strategies as individuals to become the church God wants us to be here in Midland, Michigan, on the corner of M20 and Main. And what if we took that unique purpose and developed a 3-year vision that would show measurable results, where every person in our congregation could participate in doing God's work in the world in a unique way because of who we are? Excitement would grow, as would joy, because we are doing what God uniquely calls us to do. And that is where you come in, to develop the vision, because you are important and you are unique in the life and work of this church. Please be there Saturday, October 22nd, 2016, 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pastor Brad Kalajanin of the rapidly growing Cornerstone Church in Grand Rapids will facilitate the day.
Yes, October 22nd, 8:30 through 3 o'clock, which means that we will give you lunch and breakfast. Please join this special day as we look forward to, you know, God's special work through our church in this world. Beginning in September 11th, we have been doing a new sermon series about the vision of our church for every Sunday worship. For the past two years, our vision and dreaming team has studied and discussed and prayed about the vision of our church and has come up with a new mission statement and the 6 core values of our church's ministry. Our new mission statement is described in a simple sentence: helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. Helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And our 6 values of ministries are invitational, transformational, relational, missional, biblical, and worshipful. Today, I will talk about the first ministry value, missional. To understand our missional identity as a church, I'd like to invite you to listen to the stories of Genesis. Because in Genesis, we can find the origin of our mission, and also we can find God's invitation for His community to join the stories of God's mission, especially Genesis 12 and Genesis 18. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, helps us to understand the reason and meaning of God's mission. And Genesis 18, verse 17 through 21, clearly speak to us about how we should do missions as a church of God. And what is mission? What does it mean when you say missional and missional church and missional people? To understand Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, we need to carefully read Genesis 1 through 11. Because Genesis 1 through 11 sets the backdrop of God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. Genesis 1 is the story of God's creation. That creation story is repeated in Genesis 2. So we can find two creation stories in Genesis 1 and 2. But there is a big difference between them. Genesis 1 is the creation story from the perspective of God. There, God is described as the one who is almighty, who is majestic and transcendent. Because God created the world out of nothing, just using His word, we can marvel at what God has done in His creation in chapter 1, Genesis. And we read seven times the same expression of God about His creation. And God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good. It means God's creation was created according to God's purpose and plan. The focus of Genesis 1 is God's created world. But in Genesis 2, the focus of the creation story changes to the Garden of Eden. Here, God is the one who had an intimate relationship with Adam. God is not just the creator. God is deeply involved in creating and building up intimate relationship with the human beings. And then God gives Adam and Eve the authority to rule over His creation. The Almighty, the majestic God, He came down to the garden to build up the fellowship and relationship with the human beings. That is the picture of the two stories in Genesis 1 and 2. But in Genesis 3, chapter 3 through 11, we find all kinds of human problems. Still, we see that kind of problems happening sometimes in our lives and in this world. It shows that the whole world and all nations are in a broken relationship with God and with also one another. The world is a place that needs healing and restoration. The world needs to be recreated again because the world was used to be too good. It was so good to the eyes of God. In Genesis 3, we see the broken relationship between God and human being. Adam and Eve ate fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. They broke the word of God and ended up with being kicked out of the garden. We hear the blame of Adam about his wife. Adam and Eve were both fearful and shameful to hide themselves from God when they committed sin. That is the reality of human beings who are under the power of sin. The fellowship of human beings with God is broken. So Genesis chapter 4 through 11 shows that the horizontal fellowship of human beings with others is also broken. In Genesis 4, Cain killed his brother Abel out of jealousy. Lamech killed a young man for wounding him. It was too much. In Genesis 5, we see the titanic lust of the sons of God and the daughters of men. Genesis 6 through 8 is about the stories of God's judgment and restoration. The earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God decided to judge the sins of human beings with water. Noah and his family were saved because they followed the word of God. But in Genesis 9, we see the sins of incest between Ham and his father Noah. And the sin of human beings culminated at the story of Babel Tower in Genesis 11. In a plane in China, people wanted to build a city with a tower that reaches to heavens so they might have made a name for themselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. We see the arrogance of human beings before the eyes of God, depending on their own skills and technologies, to become like God and not listening to God's command in Genesis 1:28 to fill the earth and rule over God's creation. So God came down and confused their language and scattered them over all of the earth. The Tower of Babel was too small, so God had to come down to see them. Then we now have Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, the calling of Abraham. The early chapters of Genesis present the universal problem of sin with human beings. Now we find the solution God had in his promise to Abraham. That is why Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, is one of the most important places in the entire Bible, and here we can begin to understand the nature and purpose of God's chosen people. Let us read Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3 together. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Do you see the words repeatedly in a place there in those three short verses? The bless and blessed. The blessing and bless. The words blessing and bless are used five times in this promise. We are called by God to become a blessing to the world. That is our mission. God commands Abraham, "Go so that you will be a blessing. In you, all the families over the earth shall be blessed." That is our mission. That is the meaning of the missional. We can find that meaning in this verse. And what is blessing? The Hebrew word of blessing is barak. Blessing does not mean that we just enjoy our riches, have a lot of offspring, good health, and longevity. Blessing is more than those. Blessing is the word related to God's creation, because if we read carefully Genesis chapter 1, we can find the word blessing several times. God blessed the creatures in the sky and the sea on the fifth day of his creation. On the sixth day, God also blessed male and female who were created in the image of God. God also blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Blessing means the restoration of creation as it was originally created according to God's plan and purpose. We do clearly see the restoration of creation in Revelation 21. in a new heaven and a new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So we, as a church of God, we are called to restore the creation for the new relationship with God. The new relationship with God always means our participation in God's work of salvation. Isn't it amazing? God called us, God called our church to restore the broken world, to restore the world to the state in Genesis 1 and 2. To the eyes of God, it was so good. We have that calling. In Genesis 9, after God's judgment, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." This is the same command Adam and Eve received from God. It means God entered into a new relationship with Noah and his family. God saved Noah and his family from his judgment. And God would start a new relationship with human beings again, as we can see in Genesis 2. So, blessing is the word related to new creation, new relationship, salvation, and restoration. We are called by God to do that kind of work in this world. I'd like to invite you to read Colossians chapter 3, verse 28 through 29 with me. It is on the screen. "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." The promise here is about Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Apostle Paul understood his mission in relation to Abraham's blessing in Genesis 12. The church today is living on the calling of Abraham to bring blessing to the world through Jesus Christ, because we find new creation, new relationship, salvation, and restoration only through Jesus Christ. According to a missiologist, David Bosch, from South Africa, the Church of God has been motivated and mobilized by the specific Bible verses to do God's mission in a specific time. At the time of the missionary awakening in Great Britain, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 was the mission verse for the churches. "For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died." That urgency in our heart of Jesus Christ's love, that was the motivating Bible verse at the time. In the Puritan colonial period, church was were motivated for mission with Acts 16, verse 9. "During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" After the World War I, John 10:10 was the missionary verse for the churches. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Since 1940s, Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, has been regarded as the calling of God for the churches all over the world. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" All these missionary verses God used in the history of the church, they are all related to the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Because God called his church to become a blessing in this world. What is mission? Our mission is to let God's blessing flow into the curses of human beings. It is the restoration of the goodness of God's creation in the broken world. Ultimately, our mission is to bless the world as we become a blessing of God. So, wherever we go, if we go to our working place, if we go to our school, if we are here at the church, the people around us should find blessing from God through us, because we have that authority, we have that calling from God to become a blessing to the world. Then how do we do God's mission? I do believe Genesis 18, verse 17 through 19 clearly speak to us how we should do mission. Would you please join me in reading these verses? The Lord said, "Shall I hide it from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. No, for I have chosen him, that he may charge his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." God and his angels were on their way to Sodom. He didn't need to stop for a meal with Abraham and Sarah. But God wants to reveal the way about how Abraham and his spiritual descendant, the church, should do the work of a mission. It is very simple. It is God who brings the blessings from heaven to the people in the corrupted world. We just walk in the ways of God. And we just do righteousness and justice. And then God will use us to bring the blessing from him to this world. That is the way how we are supposed to mission in our life. It is up to us. It is up to us when we have a strong relationship, obeying God's word, just intentionally try to walk in the ways of God, continually thinking about the ways of our life, if they are reflecting the righteousness of or the justice of God. By doing so, we can do the mission of God, bringing the blessings to this world. It is up to us. It's up to our relationship. Righteousness and justice are used interchangeably in the Old Testament. The life of righteousness means living a life according to God's standards. Justice is a more action-oriented word. Both righteousness and justice reflect the character of God. And it is one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, law. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6 says, "Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth." When we reveal the character of God, which is his love, righteousness, and justice, God will bring about his blessing to all the nations through us. When we live an ethical life as Christians, God will make us become the blessing to our family, our neighbor, and the world. I do believe Genesis 12, 19 is well explained in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. There is a scholar who believes these verses in Deuteronomy is the summary of the law of Moses in the five books. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. "So now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandment of the Lord your God and his decrees that I am commanding you today for your own well-being. The mission of the church, mission of the God's people, they are all about for our benefit, for our well-being. We can find the blessing of God continually in our life as we intentionally do the work of mission in our life. I met a pastor at a conference in Calvin Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids last year. And he was a senior pastor at a church in the Metro Detroit area. And he said that many people living in the Metro Detroit area are living under the power of sin. And he has found five bondages they are struggling with. They are living in the bondage of violence, bondage of hyper-selfishness, bondage of amusement, bondage of distrust and cynicalism, and bondage of dependency. He said, since we know the spiritual needs of the people in the Metro Detroit area, my church's mission is to tackle those problems. Yes, that is right. His church is called by God to become a blessing to the people in the church's neighborhood. His church remembered the command from God, go so that you will be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What about our city, Midland? We have 42,000 people in Midland as of 2014. Estimated median household income in 2013 was around $48,000. But there are also a lot of families living in poverty in Midland. A lot of families are exposed to the emotional, psychological, relational, and addictive problems. There are people who need an affordable housing and transportation. Also, there are people who need help with the jobs after they get out of jail. More than anything else, there are a lot of people who need to have a new relationship with Jesus Christ in our city. We are called to go so that we can be a blessing. In us, all the families of Midland shall be blessed. You can say amen at this point. Amen. What shall we do? Let us start with prayer. The first reaction of Abraham when he overheard God's way of mission was prayer. He interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah 6 times. Let God speak to you, to your heart, and listen to his voice about his direction for your work of blessing. I really want to hear that, from you. Oh, Pastor, can you just pray for my direction of my mission work? I'm just thinking about, God's working in my life. And I want to participate in his work. Can you just pray for me? I really, really want to hear that kind of a prayer request from you. That must be the same with our pastors here. And review your life and find where and how God has been working for you. What are your spiritual gifts? They will also tell you about your missions. Go to your neighbors and be nice to them. Listen to their stories and also share your life stories with them. Work with your Christian brothers and sisters in Midland for the missions of God. We are unable to tackle those problems we have in this Midland just by ourselves. Let us remember that we are living in the city of 100 churches. Our presence in our city itself requires real connectional ministries that are overcoming the barriers of denominationalism. And also know your church's ministries. We have a different kind of ministries such as night hours, Stephen ministry, school backpacking, Sunday friendship, and also we are supporting Fresh Air Counseling Center. and share those ministries with the people in your neighbor who need that kind of ministry. And just pray about this. In which ministry God is calling you to serve? And let us remember that we are called to be a blessing to the city of Midland. In us, all the families of Midland shall be blessed. Let us pray together. Dear God, you are a missionary God because you came to us to restore our fallen state and to become a blessing to us. We give you thanks to you for your work of a blessing. Also, you have called us to live a life of a missionary, bringing your blessings to our neighbors. Help us, God, to be faithful to your calling. Let us find that in us, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, I'd like to invite all of you who confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, who have the confirmation about your calling to become a missionary in your life, to this table of communion.